Thank you for listening to the audio podcast of the King's Crossing Church of Christ. To learn more or subscribe, please visit our website at kingscrossingcoc.com.
On different significant occasions, there are people who decide to write new songs. In 1976, Gordon Lightfoot released a song called The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Some of you will remember it. That was a few years before I was born. But he released this song the year after the tragedy occurred, the sinking of the bulk carrier SS Edmund Fitzgerald up on Lake Superior. And that particular song, in my opinion, seems like it just goes on and on forever if you listen to it. But he talks about the circumstances and the people involved. But in the end, he's writing a song that we would refer to as a hero song. We use these often in a lot of places in our culture. In fact, our national anthem is another hero song, written specifically about the flag itself, that despite the war and fighting that lasted all night, the next morning the flag was still there and still standing. In fact, a lot of the rules surrounding the American flag are that it is to be treated as a living thing. You don't just throw it down the ground, you don't discard it, but you treat it as if it's a living symbol of our living nation. But every time we have a ball game or a lot of other events in culture, we might start with this hero song about our nation, where we celebrate the best of who it is we hope to be. Hero songs are a very old tradition. Going back to the works of Homer, the Iliad, and the Odyssey, these are songs about heroes. You might also remember that after David slayed Goliath and David and Saul are coming back into the city, it was the hero songs that got King Saul so upset because David was getting a better sounding hero song than he was. So this last chapter in the book of Proverbs that we've been studying through, this last chapter, Proverbs 31, contains a unexpected twist on a familiar theme in this song about the noble woman. So often when we look for someone to be a hero, we tend to focus on the great warriors and the great conquerors. But Proverbs 31 challenges us and says, you know, it might be that the greatest hero you've ever had in your life is one of the people who raised you. It might be someone dwelling with you in your own household who prepares your meals, who encourages you. If you want to look for a true hero, you really need look no further than a woman of noble character. Why read all the comic books? Why dwell in all the history books when in fact God has put a living example in your life of a noble person and someone to aspire to be like? Proverbs 31 has got several characteristics of it that really do echo the traditional hero song type arrangement. And one of the things that comes through so strongly in the book of Proverbs and also some of the passages beyond is this great emphasis about the noble character of good, godly women. In fact, we often start with verse 10 when we read Proverbs 31, the passage that Robert read for us a few moments ago. But in fact, the first 9 verses of Proverbs 31 are a collection of wisdom given to Lemuel from his mother. It's advice from his mother about if you're going to be a noble person, if you're going to be a king who reigns over others, here's the way that you ought to be. Here are some traits that ought to be true of you. Looking through this passage, in fact, if we were reading it in Hebrew, it's an acrostic poem. So each verse starts with a different letter of the alphabet as it paints this wonderful portrait of the heroic woman figure. And there's some other things that this passage does that lets us know this really is a hero song in the style of so many others that would have been written at the time. Verse 10, just that word noble is actually a military term that gets used to describe this woman. It's a military term, noble. Verse 11, it says that her family does not lack plunder, talking about her husband. When she brings things home, chooses to use a militaristic term again, that she brings plunder. When she provides for her family, it doesn't just say she provides food, but that she provides prey. So again and again, we're getting clues that this is a song about a hero. This is a hymn for a hero. Even the original arrangement, you may or may not be aware of this, but the typical arrangement of our books of the Bible in the Old Testament we use a different arrangement than what the Jews had traditionally used. And there are some significant things that come out of this passage when you look at the traditional Hebrew arrangements of the books. So you had the three poetic books together, Psalms, Proverbs, and Job, with, of course, Proverbs ending there with Proverbs 31, this question of the noble woman who can find. And this section of Scripture in the Hebrew canon was followed by what they call the five scrolls. And look at the dignity that these scrolls give to women. The Song of Songs, powerful story about love, about the importance of the romantic relationship between a husband and wife. But in fact, it's actually the woman who speaks first in this book and says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." It's the woman who's showing initiative in bridging that romantic relationship. To the question of where could we ever find a woman of noble character, in the book of Ruth, Ruth, that woman from Moab, that foreigner, is even called a noble woman. She's got noble character. She's a living example of how this can be true. Books of Lamentations and Ecclesiastes are books of despair. Lamentations is looking at the exile, all the terrible things that have been done by the Babylonians, and it's the people of God lamenting together, just wondering, has God abandoned us entirely? Will we ever see the steadfast love of the Lord again, or has He completely forgotten us and left us to despair? Ecclesiastes asks all those hard questions about everything in life that people obsess with and says, is it possible that maybe all of this really is just vanity for no purpose? But it was followed by the book of Esther, the story of this woman living in a foreign kingdom who rises to this position of influence and through her courage leads the entire nation of Israel to a new period of hope, that in fact God had not abandoned them. That when we say we are here for such a time as this, that God still shows up and works through His people. So to those questions of Lamentations and Ecclesiastes, is everything lost? Is everything vain? Esther comes along and teaches us, no, with the help that God provides in any circumstance, God can lead us into a new season of blessing. So all these texts give great dignity to the role that women have in the life of the community of faith. And all these things remind us that we are children of the Most High. And the task before us, the invitation that we have to us, is that we would own our nobility, that we are intended to be children of the Most High and to live that way. Paul hits on this in Galatians chapter 3. He says in verse 26, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So he says that once we've been baptized into Christ, we're now wrapped in Christ, we're clothed in Christ, and we are full heirs of all the good things that comes from being a child of God. And he says it doesn't matter anything about your background, whether you've been in prison or you've been freed, what color your skin is, what your gender is. When it comes to the inheritance we receive as God's children, every one of us is treated as if we were a firstborn son. All of us receive total equality and blessing as part of this family of God. And so again, because we are children of the King, Scripture invites us to act like it, to know that you've been given this noble birth, this rebirth that we have in Christ, and to own that. And so what I wanted to do just briefly, I wanted to walk through some of the traits of this noble woman and hold these up as an ideal for all of us. These would be ideals for us individually. These would be ideals for what our immediate family is like, but I think these are also ideals for our congregation. As children of the High King, as children of the Almighty, how can we exhibit our noble character? She gives us some great examples. Is it possible to really find someone like her? One of the things that a family of noble character would do is that they would work for what they have. They would work hard. It talks about the way she trades and generates income. I know we've been talking some with our announcements earlier about the ways we've been trying to set goals for the works that we hope to accomplish with a new opportunity set before us. What are the things we're going to do to step up to those opportunities and to work hard for the blessings that God provides, to make the most of those things as He gives them to us? We see that a noble family enjoys sharing meals together. She goes out, she farms, she buys a vineyard. She does a lot of things to provide, but there's something so valuable about sharing communion together each week at the table. Perhaps sharing lunch after church with other people of the household of God. Making time at our own dinner tables to remember who it is that we are and who God invites us to be. We see a noble family equipping each other, providing each other with tools and sources of strength. We see a noble family planning for the future. I love the way it talks about hard circumstances. It says, when the winter is coming and everyone else is afraid, what are we going to do now? It says she can even laugh at adversity because she's already ready for it. Andy kind of referenced this a few minutes ago. When God has provided for us, when we've worked hard to prepare, these hard circumstances come up, and when it gets cold outside, her family has already got their winter clothing ready to go. They can laugh at adversity. She practices generous compassion. Even though she's been blessed with much, she doesn't keep it for herself, but she, just like we should, opened her hand to the needy and helps those who are weak. We see a family of noble character works hard at building each other up. I love the way it says her husband praises her, that we would try to outdo one another in showing honor and celebrating what good has been done, appreciating each other for the things that we do. We all have so many opportunities to receive criticism in our life. Let's hope that church is one of the places we can go, that we always hear a word that uplifts us and encourages us. A family of noble character lives with purpose. One of the things that you can't possibly miss about the description of this noble woman is that it talks about the way she's awake late at night, her lamp doesn't go out, she wakes up early in the morning. This is a person who purposefully avoids laziness completely. She's not lazy. That we shouldn't sit back, that we shouldn't miss opportunities, that we should be ready at all times to step up and own our nobility, to make the most of our opportunities. And then finally, a family of noble character individually will do things that brings honor to the family. It talks about her husband and how he's able to sit at the gates of the city. This is where important legal matters were decided. In fact, if you remember in the book of Ruth, when there's the discussion about what's going to happen with Ruth and who's going to be her kinsman redeemer, that discussion happens at the gate of the city. And so because of her character, her husband is able to be in a position where he is also respected. And we want to have that relationship with one another, that through each of our character individually, through the things that we do individually, we reflect well on all of us collectively as this family of God. Proverbs does a nice job of highlighting for us how so many things do become useless where there is not also the fear of the Lord. One of my favorite verses, Proverbs 11 and 22, this one's kind of humorous. It says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. It's a good one. What good is a gold ring in a pig's snout? What good is a beautiful woman who doesn't have godliness, who doesn't have wisdom? So Proverbs would remind us that beauty is useless without godliness. But that can also be said of nearly anything that people chase after and try and embody. Power is a useless thing if it's not accompanied by godliness. Wealth and resources are useless when there is not also godliness and the fear of the Lord. Opportunity becomes a useless thing if it's not accompanied by godliness. It is godliness that provides the real value to anything we would set out to do. So we're grateful for whoever it was who first had the idea of all the songs we could write heroes about. What if we stopped to consider some of the people in our own family, in our own household of faith, certainly our good, godly mothers and women of noble character who set such a great example for us, and if we would, in simplicity, practice their faith, emulate their faith, how much stronger the kingdom would be.